Welcome to Bad Girls Die First,
a horror podcast that's taking a little detour to rewind to 1999.
We're watching every wide release from the most prolific year in film history. That's over 200 films, including some of our favorites of all time.
We'll still be bringing you horror on social media. You can find at Bad Girls Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
If you're into bonus content or just want to help us pay the bills, you can chip in on Buy Me a Coffee. For $5 a month, you get access to episodes and reviews on new releases and whatever shows we're binging. You can grab a monthly membership or just toss us a few bucks as a one-time tip at buymeacoffee.com/badgirlspodcast.
Now grab a can of Surge and sit back in your inflatable chair, because we have a lot of movies to watch.
We only put out 2 episodes last year.
Well.
So I forgot how it works.
It's okay. Everything's fine.
I thought we did more, but I don't know. I was depressed and unemployed for most of last year. So.
I mean, same, but
we did pretty good in 2021. I was like looking, because I was looking to see what movies, how many we'd done from 99. And so I was looking through the list and quite a few in 2021. Then last year was like one in March and one in July.
Last year sucked.
That was it.
The only thing that was able to get us out of our funk was Yellow Jackets.
Oh, we were supposed to do the one on Fresh that I never edited.
Yeah, we did record that in the archives. I was just talking to somebody about Fresh. So we were talking about like chef movie. We were talking about the menu, and then it went like, I was, you know, like horror movies or something. And not that guy was a chef, but anyway, I was like, so hear me out. Meal kits for cannibalism. Because somebody made the comment that pig is the closest thing to like eating a human or something. And I was like, what?
It is.
Evidently, yeah.
We taste like pork. Are we white meat?
I'm all like pork belly. Anyway.
I feel like I probably taste real gamey, you know? Like. Mm-hmm. I don't know why we always end up talking about cannibalism.
What is wrong with us?
I don't know. So many things.
I guess we should go over what we're doing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because we decided we're too depressed to watch horror all the time.
I just don't. I still watch a lot of horror, but.
I do, here and there.
I don't have the wherewithal to watch it as much.
We love the year 1999.
It's a great year for movies.
It was one of the best years for movies.
Famously a great year.
There's even a book that we're kind of reading along, if you'd like to join. I'm like, my friend Darren sent it to me. Of course, now I don't remember what it's called. Oh,
best movie best year ever.
Ever, yeah.
Best I don't remember the author's ever. Name.
right, I know. I'm awful. I really need to know that. it's by Brian Rafferty. And it was best movie year ever, how 1999 blew up the big screen.
Yeah, I just was thinking one day about how I just haven't been in the mood to watch as much horror. And I was like, man, so many good movies came out in 99. I don't remember what I was watching. I assume I was watching a movie from 99, but I could not tell you which one it was. And I was like, wouldn't it be stupid if we watched every movie from 1999?
Widely released theatrical
movie. Widely released, yes. I have. I made a spreadsheet. I took out all the made-for-TV movies except for Storm of the Century.
Yeah, I can't do that. I'm sorry. I do draw the line.
What? You're not going to watch Storm of the Century?
No, I guess if I have to. Stephen King television is just a lot, man.
We don't have to watch it. I just left it on there.
No, I really like Cold Fjord, so I guess I can power through again.
Oh, it's like 4 hours long, though.
I know.
Okay, we don't have to watch that. We don't need to watch that.
We'll see how we feel.
Sure. I took out all the made-for-TV movies. I took off, like, the documentaries.
Maybe we should watch a couple just in case.
We have so many already. There's so many.
That's true. Yeah. So many documentaries.
No, there's just so many movies. There actually weren't that many documentaries. But yeah, I took off all the made for TV movies. And I took off a couple of the animated movies, like an Animaniacs movie. And I guess we can watch Doug's first movie if you really want to. But, like, I left Princess Mononoke and the Iron Giant.
Yeah.
There really weren't that many kids' movies on the list. Like specifically kids' movies. There's, like, Stuart Little.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Toy Story 2. And maybe one other, but that's about it. It was not a year for children's movies, let me tell you. There were, like, a couple of animated things and Stuart Little.
Yeah, 1999 was like, fuck them kids.
So many teen movies. I mean, obviously, that we grew up on, like, She's All That and 10 Things I Hate About You, 200 Cigarettes, like, it's crazy. American Pie.
Is 200 Cigarettes even available to stream? Yes. Like, I remember.
No, it is. Okay. No, it's not. I had to have someone download it for me.
Okay, yeah.
I wanted to watch it.
Pass that along.
I wanted to watch it on New Year's Eve. And so I had someone put it on a Plex server for me. Because, yeah, no, it was not available anywhere. Maybe we can find, like, a DVD at, like, Vintage Stock or something. Or on the internet.
Yeah, I'm like, does YouTube have it? I'll just pay for it real quick.
Donate to our Buy Me a Coffee so that we can buy Kara a cheap DVD of 200 Cigarettes.
Help me.
Detroit Rock City. Dick.
Oh, God. Jesus Christ.
Election. All these, like, crazy teen movies that were
so bonkers.
So bananas. Like, Go. Oh, Jawbreaker.
God, yeah. 99 was a good year
for
Sarah Polley.
Every time I look at the list, I'm like, Jesus, how did we manage this?
I must have been at the theater a lot in 99, and I was in the Navy, too, so... I don't know.
A lot of different kinds of movies. Like, it's quite the, I don't know, a lot of those romance dramas, like The Story of Us and Message in a Bottle, like that kind of shit. There's some good thrillers. There's some horror.
And I remember there being, like, it was such a big deal that Episode One was coming out. Like, massive deal. Like, they had, like, there's this guy in, I was living in San Diego, and at the mall there, so they had this guy named Jedi Josh who was camping out in front of the Mission Valley Mall to buy his tickets. And it was, like, a big deal. The radio station, like, he had, like, the setup, the radio station gave him, like, a laptop and all this stuff to, like, communicate with them or whatever, because this is before a lot, you know, like, social media wasn't a thing or whatever. And so on the radio every day, we'd, like, listen to see what Jedi Josh was up to as he was prepping to, like, go buy his tickets to the Phantom Menace. And, like, I shit you not, my friend Chase and I went down to another theater that, like, morning and just walked right into the theater to watch this movie. Like, no one was there. I was like, poor Josh. It's just been fucking camping out.
I don't know if I saw this in the theater, that in the theaters. I don't remember when I watched Star Wars for the first time. And to be honest, Phantom Menace might have been the first Star Wars movie I watched. Because I don't remember in what order it happened. I know we saw one of them in the theaters when they did the re-releases, but I don't remember which one. It just wasn't something my parents watched a lot. I didn't watch them all until like my early 20s. And then, you know, it just, it went downhill from there. So
yeah. Welcome to the cult.
However, I did watch one of the movies that we're talking about in theaters.
Oh, Jesus. Well, go ahead, pick our first movie.
We are going to talk about Cruel Intentions. I watched this movie in the theaters when I was 14. My boyfriend at the time was 13, and he had a sister who was a year older than me, a stepsister a year older than me, and a stepsister my age. And so the five of us and their significant others went to the movies with their parents, like my boyfriend's dad and his stepmom. Somehow we all went in one van. I don't know how that happened. Illegally, clearly not everyone was wearing a seatbelt.
Seatbelts didn't matter back then.
The parents went to see something else, and they bought tickets for all of us who were under 17 to go see fucking Cruel Intentions.
Nice.
Insane. I was like, oh, this movie is really
horny.
Bet you
learned some stuff, though. Yeah, super horny. Super horny movie.
It was definitely a situation where I was like, I guess I kind of know about the stuff they're talking about, but I don't really care about any of it. Like...
Well, the funny thing is that, like, I grew up on Dangerous Liaisons with, like, John Malkovich.
That's like, who it is. I don't know why I was thinking Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah.
I was talking about it with someone.
Glenn Close, yeah. And so when I noticed that it said based on, or, like, whatever, like, I was like, oh, why would, this is going to be interesting then. Because that movie is definitely softcore porn.
I'll have to watch it. I've never watched it.
It's an interesting movie. I haven't seen it in ages, but
I've always known that that's what it was based on. But that was a play too, right?
Yeah,
like the movie is based on a play or something.
Yes, by Chordelos de Laclos.
Glad you have IMDb pulled up.
Right. It's a 1782 novel.
Oh my god. Oh yeah, because I remember I've never seen Dangerous Liaisons, but I always remember seeing the box in the video store with their mm-hmm. wig, their powder wigs or whatever.
Yeah, because it's definitely 17. that century. But Cruel Intentions was directed by Roger Cumble, who also directed such hits as The Sweetest Thing. I was like watching that movie.
Oh man, I love that movie so much.
So just cute comfort movie. So that's fun. And he wrote the screenplay from the novel. He adapted it. Whatever the hell he was trying to do. I will say that Roger Ebert gave this 3 stars.
Oh, well, that's good.
Which is, yes, very
that's more than I thought.
Very generous of Roger Ebert.
It doesn't, I can't remember what its Rotten Tomatoes rating is for critics. I don't know. I don't look at those anymore. Mm-mm. I have found that, like, critic scorings are often not aligned with how I feel about things. But
it's all objective. It's like art, you know. Like,
yeah, well, and I'll look at like the audience score more than like the critics score. Not that I care about any of it, but like there's some movies where like the critic score is vastly lower than like the audience score, and I'm like, okay, well, this is what real people thought about the movie, not like, you know, pretentious assholes.
I think Roger Ebert was just mad he had to watch teenagers fuck. This seems about the gist of his review.
Which, well, I mean, I'm very sorry really like him about the way things progressed from there.
No shit. Like, I bet he was real disappointed in this movie. He's like, oh, they're gay and they're fucking. I hate this. They're doing gay shit. I hate it. I remember it being like, so I was, can't do math right now. I was 20. Yeah, 70. I was born in 79, so I was 20 years old. Okay. So I was still kind of like, in 99, there wasn't a lot of like emphasis on bisexuality or anything. It was just like, be, you know, whatever. Don't talk about it. Vastly different from the 80s. Not allowed to be bisexual in the 80s. And so it was just like, I was in the Navy. I was just doing my thing. But I remember it being such a big deal that Sarah Michelle Gellar and Selma Blair made out.
Yeah.
It was like, huge deal. And I don't remember. I was like, why is this such a big deal? But me, I was wearing no fear shirts and baggy clothes. So.
Yes, it was, you know, one of those moments where you're like, okay.
This I might be a little gay. Something. One of those key movies where if you want to know if you're a little gay, watch Cruel Intentions.
I remember always like trying to like, it was like the times where girls kissed in movies. It was so rare that it was just like, yes. It was so like, I remember watching, I think I watched Wild Things.
Oh, yeah. That was
and Bound, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those were our movies where we're like, we need to see this. We need to see the lesbian stuff.
And then I remember like being disappointed, like watching Girl Interrupted, because all I wanted through that whole movie was for Angelina Jolie and Winona Ryder to make out, and they never do.
No, nope.
Sure, we'll be watching that later, also.
Yes, that is also in the list. That's going to be a spiral. Gosh, some of these movies are just going to send us into spirals.
I don't know what. I don't know what to tell you. It's going to be wild.
Yeah, so Cruel Intentions kind of set a bar, not the bar, but a bar for, you know, promiscuous sex with teenagers and assholes. Like, got your token douchebag rich teenager. Yeah.
I was like, I remember not understanding why their parents weren't there and not understanding why this girl was somehow in charge of anything. Like, because I, right? Like, I like, she's like the class president, so she somehow has a lot of power. And I was like, I don't know where these people live, because in my high school, in my class of 92 people, the class president didn't do anything like and had zero power, you know, like maybe they got us something cool in the cafeteria, but it's not like we right. They had any power at all. No one gave a shit.
Yeah, no one cared. I was like, oh, this girl coming in here like she's in Congress already. I'm like, who the fuck are you?
But I guess it's like, you know, she's like, because she's rich, then
she runs the school.
That lady wants Selma Blair, her daughter Selma Blair, to be friends with her because she's wealthy and connected or whatever.
And I do know that parents do this, you know, because clearly they're still trying to get their kids into like Ivy League schools by paying and stuff. So like parents are like zeroing in on who the popular kids are, and like, you have to be their friend, you know. It's like this weird society rich bitch like pressure for them to like be and this is why I hate popularity, because it like literally destroys people. And like fucking Christine Baranski. Fucking mother. And it's funny because like under all of this like high society shit, it's still, well, my boyfriend left me for this bitch, so I don't want her to pay or whatever. Right. It's like such petty bullshit. So I like that. That's kind of like, they're obviously still kids. It doesn't matter how put together you look. You're still like jealous that your boyfriend dumped you for somebody else.
Yeah. So you have Ryan Philippe and Sarah Michelle Gellar playing step siblings, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like obsessed with her, and they have like this weird sexual flirtation. It's so weird. I don't have a problem with Like, I don't care. They're not related by blood. Whatever. People are weird. But it's just so, it's so funny.
Just their, yeah, their energy is just not okay.
Well, I don't think that their parents have been married for that long either, though, right? Like, or at least it's been, like, since they were teens. It's not like they've been step-siblings since they were little kids.
No, I didn't get that
I think
at
that's
all.
Why he's so, like, obsessed with her. He was probably obsessed with her before their parents got married. I don't know. I don't need that much backstory, I guess, but that's just...
I like how in the description, he's listed as an unprincipled seducer who has never uttered a single word without dishonorable intentions.
So cheesy.
I'm like, oh my god. Yeah, there's a lot of cheese in this movie. Cringe, so to speak. But it's also pretty smart.
I love it. I like this movie. I think it's a good movie. I don't think that it's any worse than, like, any of the other teen movies that came out at the time.
Oh, no, for sure, not.
Something like Gossip Girl or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
They're also, they all look so young.
Oh,
and
God.
I just, I mean, I was 14 when this came out. And so to me, they were, like, so mature looking and, like, you know, like, oh, they're, like, older teenagers or whatever. And now I'm like, oh my god, they were babies.
I know.
Babies.
Which is funny because if I watch an 80s movie, I'm like, who put all these 40-year-olds in this high school movie?
I mean, they were still like, I think Reese Witherspoon was like 23. So they, I mean, they yeah, were still not, they weren't teenagers, but they just were so much younger than
they're so,
like,
yeah. It, well, especially now. Like Selma Blair's gone through so much shit in her life. You know, she's battling MS and all that, and she's so there's a whole documentary, I want to say it's on Discovery Plus, but she's not having an easy time at all, and so that it sucks her, you know, just like kind of sad to see her now, but she's, you know, she's a fighter, so she's doing her thing and she's raising awareness and all that, but it's crazy to think, like, in 20 years, you know, that character, that sweet little character, is gonna be like fighting for, you know, awareness for MS because she's suffering.
Well, and Selma Blair's character is clearly younger than the others, which makes their whole storyline really kind of upsetting, but she's like, because she's like, I don't know how old they are. They're 17, I'm assuming.
I say yeah, somewhere around there. They're definitely still in high school. Yeah, I was thinking seniors. They were going into their senior
year. Yeah, that's what I was thinking, like 17, 18. But Selma Blair is new to the school. I think she's probably like 15.
With her koala shirt.
How are things down under?
Thanks. My dad bought it for
blossoming, me. I hope.
Oh, God. I also was like, I forgot that people like Susie Kurtz and Tara Reid were
in
this movie
briefly.
For a minute.
But it's just all about Catherine and Sebastian's little game to entertain themselves.
Yeah, because they're bored assholes.
Bored rich people.
And kids, I'm sorry, kids are just horrible anyway, because they're going through all their hormone changes and stuff, and they don't know how to regulate any of that, so they're just horrible. Give them money and power and, like, unpresent parents, oh fuck, you're in trouble.
Yeah, I also just don't, I I guess there are 17 year olds who get around that much, but, like, I don't know, I just were from a small town, there weren't that many of us, like, you if you were gonna sleep with, like, that many girls, you couldn't keep it secret, everybody was gonna know. So he's just,
yeah,
like,
I
sleeping
imagine
with everyone.
In Manhattan.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, sure. Like, there's more people, clearly.
He's so sick of these Manhattan debutantes. They bore him. Like, oh my god, let me play the smallest fucking violin. So enter virginal Annette.
right.
Who is tempting to him because she wrote a manifesto, or whatever it was. An article in 17 magazine, or Cosmo or whatever the fuck it was. Yeah, 17 magazine had a subscription. Probably not then, but before, in high school for sure. And she wrote a whole thing about how she was going to wait for marriage to have sex. And that was such a big deal.
She said, I think she was equating, in the movie she says she wants waiting to be in love, but I think of the article, she, like her thing she wrote, marriage, and she says like she just doesn't think that kids her age are capable of feeling like the feelings that she would want to have for someone, like basically that like the teenagers aren't emotionally mature enough
to
handle that,
can't be in love, they don't know what it is. Which she's very mature to even think that, I suppose.
Like, yeah. Yeah. I mean, her character is very, like, I don't know. She is not a snob. You know, she's mm-hmm. just.
She didn't seem overly religious either. Like, that wasn't.
No. Like, a point. That wasn't she did part say, of it at all.
Yeah. Like, a little bit here and there. Like, she said, some, you know, like, there's a comment here or there about it.
Yeah.
It wasn't a focus. Like, no. Well, God thinks I should wait or anything.
Yeah. No,
like that.
It wasn't like that. It wasn't like a religious abstinence or something.
No. It was much more, like, rational, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, that's rational. Yeah, we can't handle this bullshit, get off me, you know, like. That's what I always used to tell my brother. I'm like, dude, don't date until like you're at least in college. Women are expensive.
But of course, Sebastian must conquer.
Yes, can't help it. His little hormones are raging, and he has to make a bet with Catherine, who will let him put it wherever he wants.
I definitely did not know what that meant when I was 14.
Butt stuff, yeah.
I did not know. I was just like, okay.
Where else would I put it?
I can only think of two places, but.
Well, I grew up with the Spice Channel, so I knew exactly what she was talking about. I'm like, ooh. Yeah, that's funny.
He's joke. Like, yes, so she's going to sleep with him. But he's also, like, still helping her ruin Selma Blair's life.
Because she hates Selma Blair. Yeah.
Scene where he, like, has sex with Selma Blair was uncomfortable. Oh, I was just like, ugh. Ugh.
Yeah, I didn't know. That was gross.
I was like, that's not cool. That girl clearly has some emotional maturity issues.
Just a few.
But I forgot Joshua Jackson was in this. But I even more forgot that Eric Mabius was in this.
Yeah,
and I was watching The L Word a couple weeks ago. And he's in the first season of The L Word.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I saw in this, I was like, oh my God, I forgot he's in this.
So young.
I love that Josh
Jackson.
And the Jackson.
Blonde frosted hair.
Oh my God. I was trying to think if this would have been the year that he had blonde hair in Dawson's Creek. Probably. I'm assuming so.
I was going to say, yeah.
And this was... When Urban Legends was 98, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
he was going.
He was just
phase,
rocking
clearly.
That terrible yeah. blonde hair for a while.
Yep. Which is funny because Sarah Michelle Gellar is a blonde, and she went real dark for this role.
Really dark, yeah.
Yeah, and I liked it. It actually did mm-hmm. make her look villainous.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh shit, because up until then she'd just been Buffy the Vampire Slayer and. Been in a couple movies, I'm sure.
What was
I'm
her
blanking.
Name? In, well, she was in Simply Irresistible that came, right?
Is right,
that,
I know. Yeah.
Is what, that
no,
her?
that was Cameron
What
Diaz,
am I thinking of?
I don't know what she was matter. In. I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Yes, in 97. So yeah, Joshua Jackson, this was his heyday, and
mm-hmm.
especially with blonde hair. And it's funny to me that he plays the gay kid. And yeah. Also, I forgot that the word fudge packer was a thing that people said.
There were a few terms where I was like, oh.
Why? Well, like, wow.
Haven't heard that.
What?
Yeah, that. Fudge packer. Wow.
And it was said in a, like, somewhat endearing way. That sounds like a weird way to say that. But, like, I don't know. It was so fun. I was like, I just was like, damn, I completely forgot that word, that term ever existed.
That term. Yeah, that and pussy whipped. I haven't heard pussy whipped in a long time. I'm like, I want to bring that one back because pussy whipped sounds fierce.
Yeah, what do people say now? Cucked?
Yeah, I think so.
So stupid. I hate it. So dumb.
Like, it's all dumb. Well, yeah, so he's... They're all trying to manipulate the siblings anyway, the step siblings, trying to manipulate their way through this dumb shit. Really. I mean, honestly, what they're trying to do is dumb. Like, it is teenage problems for sure. They're evidently they're also French aristocrat problems from Dangerous Liaisons. And that's kind of like an interesting thought, that like that's what rich people do. They just don't give a shit. They just want to fuck with people. Like, it's a stereotype, right?
It's all about reputation. Like, their, you know, their reputations or whatever, which are like, I don't know that I've ever...
She hates her reputation. Like, because she said, she's like, I want to... I don't know if she was telling the truth. She's such a fucking asshole manipulator. But, like, she's like, I have to act like Marsha fucking Brady and I want to shoot myself or whatever,
yeah,
you know?
She wants it's to like, be... Well, she wants to be the shitty person that she is, like, for everyone. Like,
be the shitty person. Be that fucking shitty person. And this is why I love the end, not to skip, but, like, everyone finds out who the fuck she is. And I'm like, yes, now you're free, girl. Fucking go. Do it. Fucking be that shitty person, because I think you'll be very much happier.
So insane.
The ending, I have questions about.
Okay? I just, like, he falls in love with Annette.
And at first I thought that was like not a good progression. Like, you know, like when I was younger, I was like, God, he really changed real fast. But I guess it's like movie pacing, whatever. But now that I watched it again, I was like, it's kind of a good progression, actually, with the interactions and the cuts, which was edited kind of bad in places,
yeah.
But you could feel the timeline a little bit better when I was watching it this last time. I was like, okay, I understand that.
I felt much more like Sebastian. I don't think it was hard for him to change or to progress when he found that something deeper, I guess. He just seemed like he was kind of shitty and manipulative.
He didn't know any better.
For a different reason than Catherine is.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Or like some of her, she was so toxic. Which I hate placing the blame on the female here, but she was a pretty toxic character.
Whatever.
So he was, you know, like they came into the household, you know, you're going to start like acting off of each other.
Mm-hmm.
So they were just shitty because they didn't, that's all that they had really in like this little bubble.
Yeah.
So maybe he just didn't have a chance to act like a better human being because he's always being kept down by this Catherine chick. Because she did, that's what she liked to do. It's like her little pet, you know. She knew that he wanted her, and so she used that,
yeah,
in every way possible,
right? But they like have sex, and then
Catherine's like, haha, you're pussy whipped.
And gets him to like break it off with Annette, because she tells him that she'll tell everyone or some. I don't even remember. And I the other day.
She threatens his reputation.
And Annette's. So and he that, breaks and, it off.
Mm-hmm.
And then he tries to get her back and he gives her his journal.
Yeah, he writes her a letter about how crappy of a human he is. and gives her his journal. And then dies.
Yep. Gets in a fight with that guy from... Is that the guy from Save the Last Dance?
I think so. Yeah. I forgot. Sorry. I just watched this too. But yeah, he was good in the 90s too. I don't know what else he's been doing.
He goes after him because Catherine has lied to him about whatever the fuck. And they get in a fight.
Ron Patrick Thomas. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought. And Sebastian falls into, or what's her name? Annette tries to come stop it. She falls into the street. A car is coming. Sebastian saves her and gets hit by a car and dies. First of all, that car could not have been going very fast. It was going like 30 miles an hour. Now, getting hit by a car at 30 miles an hour sounds awful. I don't think that he would have died immediately. I feel
he might have broken his neck is what I think happened. I think he landed on his head.
Reasonable.
And he broke his neck is what I assume happened. Because like I have read some articles, because that was confusing to me too. I was like, really? Can you get killed by a car going? Because
they're in Manhattan. It's not like they're...
It did seem like that corner was kind of fast moving though. So I don't know.
Remember thinking, I feel like they could have called an ambulance and maybe he would have died at the hospital, but that's not as dramatic, so.
Right, exactly. I just feel like he could have been hit by a semi and that really would have done it.
It's like Final Destination.
Oh man, I would like to right, just like, boom. I'd like to apologize to Sean Patrick Thomas. He's in a lot of stuff. I just haven't, like, he's in Till, but Till's going to be I have to prepare myself for that fucking movie, Jesus.
Save the Last Dance, it's just the one that I always remember.
I love that movie, too. But anyway, I like his character, though, because he goes up against Christine Baranski, because she's obviously a racist cunt. Like, she even says it, she's like, he's so black. When she finds out that he's involved with their daughter, he really stood up to her, and it was great. But yeah, then unfortunately gets in a fight with Sebastian, and he dies. And
that's the end.
Well, here's my question.
They spend a whole bunch of money publishing his journal in like a bound photocopy book.
In time for his funeral. Yeah. Bound. Photocopied. Yeah, I guess. They get it. They're open 24/7. But my other question is, why the fuck was Annette allowed to drive his car at the end? Like, did he just, like, change his will?
I think she just took it.
He just took his car. Okay.
Just took it.
I think Annette is like a little bit more shady than we have been led to believe. She just fucking steals Sebastian's car at the end. She's like, this is mine. We were in love. I mean, and it's a good ending, but at the same time, wait a minute. Like, you couldn't access that car. It's
but
like
also they published the whole journal, and like, who else is he talking about in that journal? Like, everyone. And
everyone.
They're just like airing out whatever he said about everyone else.
Yeah, like she didn't like look at it and like think, oh, I should. It's like the burn book. Like, everybody's shit is in this book or whatever. I assume it was thick too. Like, obviously the whole thing got printed. And Cecile is just passing him out.
I assume there's like a lot written about Catherine, so
mostly it's probably Catherine
and her little Coke necklace.
Yeah.
Coke the rosary. Coke
cross, the Coke rosary, the Coke cross. And yeah, and to that verb, the different
Bittersweet Symphony that they got sued for, right? For
right,
sampling,
because they sampled
Rolling Stones.
Yeah. I really love that song, but I was like, oh shit, they're kind of shitty about this song. So, but it's a great ending to that movie.
Yeah. Well, and the movie even opens with Placebo, so.
Yes. And a graveyard, or like it's hovering over gravestones or something. Like, what are we looking at? Oh, it's a cemetery.
It's a good soundtrack.
Great soundtrack. I was listening to the car, listening to it in the car today.
I like that Counting Crows song a lot.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, I like this movie.
I don't have any smart closers for these episodes, so just watch every 99 movie so you're prepared for what we're gonna go through.
Yeah, and it's gonna be formatted a little bit differently just in the way that I edit so that I can put movies together as we need to, because there's gonna be some that we just don't have a lot to say about, and I'm just gonna hold those episodes aside and they can go in an episode together.